Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part one of a four-part series entitled Prepare, and today's message is specifically entitled Prepare to Change, based off of Isaiah chapter 43, verses 19 through 20, and Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. So let us dive into the Word today. First, Isaiah 43, verses 19 through 20. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. And Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Amen. My family and I love the Jersey Shore. That's where I was born and raised, grew up, where I currently live. Love Jersey, well, not on the shore, but in Jersey. And we love the Jersey Shore. Growing up, my parents always brought us to Point Pleasant. Now, if you live in or around New Jersey, you probably have heard of Point Pleasant and Jenkinson's. If not, you can Google it. Really cool beach and an awesome boardwalk with a lot of different things that you can do on it. But loved going to that beach, and we went there pretty much every year, probably a couple times a year during the summer. We'd do day trips down there and whatnot. So we also spent time at other places like Long Beach Island, and where we spent time with family friends. But I have tons of memories of Point Pleasant. Some pleasant, pardon the pun, some not so much. For instance, I remember the time my dad brought me out in the ocean with him. I was young, maybe five-ish, maybe younger. And my dad was holding me because, you know, those waves are big. If you haven't been to the Jersey Shore, especially at Point Pleasant, those waves are, they get big there. It's an inlet, so the waves just come dumping in. Plus, you add the fact that you have you know, jetties and things like that there that they the waves break upon. Really awesome beach for ocean if you're into waves and like swimming, bodyboarding and that sort of thing. Anyway, my dad took me in. I was young, and he was holding me because those waves were big, and there's no way that that little kid was going to go into that water. And I remember it felt like I remember when my dad was holding me, there's this really huge wave, real powerful wave that came and just like overtook us, like totally overtook us both. And we went tumbling in the wave. And I remember it felt like eons under the water and trying to fight it, which you just cannot do. You cannot fight a wave when it has overpowered you and overtaken you. They're just too strong. And of course, I eventually washed up on the shore completely naked. My bathing suit stolen by the wave. Thank God I was young. Thank God it didn't really matter much to me. The only thing that mattered to me at that point was that I felt like I was going to drown, and I just gotten out of the water and I was crying probably. I remember this pretty vividly. At least the experience of getting overtaken by the waves and what it felt like being under that water. And I'm sure many of us have had that feeling, have had that happen before. But thank God I was young. We were just at the shore, actually, a short while ago for a day trip. This time we went to Island Beach State Park, another great beach, and we saw signs everywhere warning people of the dangers of rip currents. Now, if one gets caught up in a rip current, they will be sucked away from the shore and out past the surf into the ocean. Inexperienced and or panicked swimmers will fight the sudden and forceful change in direction and try to swim against the current, which is a big no-no. It's the worst thing you could possibly do because it's an impossible task. There's no way you can fight against that current. And it results, much like when you're going down the rapids in a river and you try to go against the rapids, it results in exhaustion and drowning. Panic can also cause people to swim with the current, which is also a bad thing to do because that just takes you further out into the ocean. And then you have further to swim back to the shore. And of course, if you just turn around and swim straight back, you're swimming back into the rip current, which isn't going to work for you. So the only way to really survive a rip current is to not panic, to accept that the change of direction is inevitable, there's nothing you can do about it, and to swim parallel with the shore. It's allowing the rip current to take you out. There's nothing you can do to stop that. But by swimming parallel to shore, you're eventually swimming your way out of the rip current. And then once you do, you can turn back inward and swim into the shore again. And of course, the waves will help take you there. So that's the only way to really survive a rip current. The truth be told, we don't need to be in the ocean to fear changes, do we? Gradual or sudden, we all fear change. Change often represents the unknown. And we fear what we don't know. We fear what we don't know. When change is coming, or even when we're merely perceiving it's coming, we panic. We allow our fears and vivid imaginations to take control of us. And oftentimes such fear leads us down the slippery slope of what if? What if the change causes us to fail? What if we fall short? What if we lose members? What if we decline in attendance and giving? What if we've never done what if, right? We've never done it before that way. So why start doing it now? What's the point? What if all these bad things come to pass? Why bother? Now, the Bible has a lot to offer up on change. We learn in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, that God does not change. We learn in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, we learn that while the grass withers and the flower fades, the word of our God will last forever. The Bible has a lot to say, and so I have three biblical truths for us to consider regarding change. First, while the Bible teaches us that God and Jesus Christ are never changing, that does not mean the Bible gives us permission to not change. In fact, there are countless passages where God was calling people to change. Second, change is a part of God's will for us, and it is part of the sanctification process. I'll say that again. Change is a part of God's will for us, and it is part of the sanctification process. We should not be the same person we were when we were first saved. On the larger scale, your church is not the same today as it was yesterday. Someone had to have started it. At one point, your church didn't even exist, and someone decided to change that and started your church. And along the way, people saw the need for changes that helped carry the church onward into the future. And no doubt, there was resistance to that. There were people who were fearing the change. God is constantly changing us and our church and our world around us from who we are to who God calls us to be. Such change is ongoing and imminent. There's nothing we can do to stop it. There's nothing we can do to avoid it. There's nothing we can do to fight against it. Third, change is the means in which Christ ushers in the kingdom of heaven. We all talk about peace on earth and goodwill toward man. We love talking about the day when God will right all the wrongs and eliminate sin and evil and death. And of course, we envision ourselves to be the good people on God's side. And then we resist the changes that God is doing around us. And in essence, by doing so, we're resisting the kingdom of heaven. Change is the means in which Christ ushers in the kingdom of heaven, because right now, the kingdom of heaven is not fully 100% established in this world, and one day it will be, and in order for us to get there, change has to occur. We will never, ever avoid that. The world will never become heaven without change. We will never enter heaven without change. In today's text, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, God says, "I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun." And that parallels what God says in Revelation chapter 21. "Look, I am making everything new." In other words, God is changing everything. Praise God. Here's the point. Embracing our unchanging God means embracing Holy Spirited change. I'll say that again. Embracing our unchanging God means embracing Holy Spirited change. You can resist and resist and resist, but you are incapable of stopping what God is doing through the Holy Spirit. In fact, all you will be doing is resisting God. And like a rip current, God is irresistible. You cannot resist. You cannot fight against God. That current will take you over every time. Christ is calling us to change. Yes, we may fail at this or that. Sure, we might fall here or there. Still, Christ is calling us to change. Think about the change that occurred in Jesus' life as he went from carpenter to itinerant preacher. Think about the change that disciples underwent. Think about Paul, who went from Pharisee to apostle to the Gentiles. Where would we be without change? Where would you or your church or your community be without taking the risk of change? You are being challenged to open yourself up to the changes God is bringing in your life and in your church. Friends, change is at hand. Amen? Change is at hand. It always was and always is and always will be. Reflect on the changes God wants you to make in your life and in the church, and embrace them. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for inviting us into your kingdom and to be a part of ushering it into this world. Lord, in order to do that, we need to change, and things around us need to change. And yes, that is scary and unknown and uncertain, but yet you call us to it anyway. Open our hearts so that instead of resisting change, we might embrace it. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, it was great that you tuned in. I'm so thankful for you tuning in. Again, this is part one of a four-part series entitled Prepare. And today's message was specifically entitled Prepare to Change. So next week, we'll continue on this series. I would like to invite you to check out the episode notes. In there, you'll find links to the Life-Giving Water swag store where you can support us and support the Life-Giving Water ministries. All of the Life-Giving Water swag that is purchased goes to support Life-Giving Water. You can also purchase Party on John Cast stuff, which goes to support the Party on John Cast. It's really all of it goes to support the Life-Giving Water ministries overall. So it's a great it's a great way to support us, and it's also a great way to sport some awesome stuff, drink coffee out of an awesome life-giving water or Party on John Cast mug, or wear an awesome life-giving water or Party on John Cast t-shirt, or even have a cell phone case. Lots of different opportunities there. There's also another way you can support us. You can simply go onto the platform you listen to us on and rate us. Give us a good review. That bumps us up so that we get more notices and people can check us out and listen to us. And that certainly is the case on iTunes, and I'm imagining it works that way on Google Play Music and Spotify and other such platforms. Also, I would like to invite you to check out the Party on John Cast. We have a great episode on there called Children of the Night, and Sal and I are very, very happy with that episode. Think it came out well, and we think you'll find it interesting. In the meantime, friends, remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Amen. Go in peace.